Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, the day before Christmas in 2002. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views are expressed here, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here at in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us a special guest. His name is Ron Brown, and we're going to be talking about what's going on financially in the world today. And you say, well, why do you want to worry about something like that? Well, I want to point out that I'm very, very concerned. I believe that we are going to war against Iraq, and there's an urgency. You can tell by the way this whole thing is being manipulated, the articles planted in the newspaper. We're sure Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. He may have them, actually. We gave them to him. We sold them to him back in the 1980s. I don't know why we'd be surprised if he has chemical and biological warfare agents. And if you doubt that, we have a book that was written in the mid-1990s. In fact, we have the world's supply of them. It's called Against All Enemies. It's a cheap, inexpensive little book written by Seymour Hersh, but he simply goes into the background of how we sold Saddam Hussein the chemical and biological weapons we're so worried that he has today. And I'm not saying he's not a wicked and evil man, but then so are so many of the other dictators we're maintaining in power throughout the world, as we have our military troops in some 140 nations around the world. And many of those nations were guarding the ruthless dictators there, for instance, in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. And we have our troops at, really in so many of the countries in Georgia, where we're keeping Shevardnadze, a ruthless communist dictator, in power. But this is the way things are. So why are we concerned about Saddam Hussein? And the thought that keeps coming up as I talk to other people, maybe we need a diversion. Maybe there's going to be a crisis in America. Could it be we're moving into a financial crisis? And we needed something to keep the American people's attention diverted from what's really going on, at least until we're so far into this that many of the people have had their savings and their pensions and their annuities and their bonds and their really wiped out. Because when you go into an economic crisis, specifically if you go into an inflationary spiral after a deflation, as the government turns on the printing presses to try to keep things from getting worse, why you wipe out the value of the currency. In Argentina today, why, of course, many of the people are actually getting by on a barter system. I mean, their system is ground pretty much to a halt. Their economy is ground to a halt. 25% unemployment. The middle class has been wiped out. They've lost 70% of everything they had. And after the government promising and swearing to them that the peso would always be tagged to the dollar, and now, of course, it's worth about 30 cents, and their savings are in pesos, and the government's going to give them their money back in 5 years in government bonds. But, of course, the people are surviving, as they always do. And maybe we're going to have to do something like that in America because we've amassed a tremendous amount of debt, and the government's lying to us when they tell us that there's an easy way out of this. Well, with us today is Ron Brown, and he's been studying this. Ron, how long have you been studying the financial situation in the world?
Well, I got miseducated in college with an MBA, and it took me till about 1978 to really wake up to the fact what money is really about. So, well,
why don't you go ahead and share your thoughts with our listeners?
Well, you know, to see the condition of America, you just have to go back and to where we've come from and what's happened to our monetary system. You know, out of the Constitution, we had a dollar that was defined as a specific amount of gold and silver, and under that system, from 1791 to 1913, when we created the Federal Reserve System, the value of the dollar was basically steady. It had the same purchasing power 124 years after it was founded. And then, of course, since we went on a fractional reserve central banking system, the definition of money has totally changed. What we call money today really is nothing more than monetized debt, which of course the politicians love because now they can make promises, fulfill those promises, and then fund the promises with just monetized deficits. And so we built our whole edifice on a mountain of debt.
Well, could you explain to our listeners what a fractional reserve banking system is? Because most people don't understand these terms. I know I didn't understand it for many years. And yet, of course, that's the whole basis of this phony system of creating money out of nothing based upon debt.
Well, I'll give an example that everyone's probably been through. They've gone to a bank to get a loan. And, of course, they give you all the forms to fill out and lots of hoops and hurdles to jump through before you can qualify. But once you qualify, let's say it's a $10,000 loan, and the loan officer says, okay, you qualify, sign here, and we'll loan you $10,000. Well, as soon as you sign that dotted paper, he just turns around at his desk and on his computer goes, presto, you now have $10,000 in your account. Well, where did that money come from? It was created out of nothing based on their reserves with the Federal Reserve System. So you just created bogus money, and the only thing that gives it value over the long term is the confidence people have in it.
Well, of course, but you have to have $10,000 at least in assets before they'll lend you the $10,000, and of course those assets then become the foundation or the principle on which the debt is created.
Right, and that's what's scary to me, because what I see is, see, the bankers create money out of nothing, and they take as collateral on the loan the real assets. So if you fail to perform, what do? They foreclose.
And so they actually create money out of nothing, and then, of course, they charge you interest on it, and if you don't pay them back the money they created out of nothing, they take your tangible assets.
Exactly.
That's a pretty good system.
Yeah.
How do we get into that? I mean, how can we share in the benefits of that? Because that's almost like legalized thievery.
Right, it sure is. And it's satanic. It's so evil. What's about to wreck this country, I believe.
Well, of course, what people don't understand is we have a massive, we have the greatest debt ever amassed by any nation throughout all history. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that when we get back, and as Ron begins to explain to you what is basically happening to our country today and why you, if you're in the listening audience, if you care about your future, are going to be able to begin making some preparations for it. But right now, of course, let me go to our good friend Bill Sardi.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just think that you want to do everything you can to build up your immune system. I don't know if there's going to be a biological attack. They keep telling us there may be. It's only a matter of time, and maybe they're just scaring us to death, or maybe, of course, there'll be more in the way of anthrax attacks. Remember, the last anthrax obviously came from one of our own military laboratories, but the government just can't figure out who took it or how it got out there. But it had to be somebody who was vaccinated against that strain, or it would have killed them. So where did the anthrax come from? Came from one of our military laboratories. Where will the next biological strain come from? We'll just have to wait and see. Begin making preparations. Alamax is a good way to help build up your immune system. And then, of course, if you haven't made other preparations, why, let me suggest you call 1-800-453-2002. That's 1-453-2002. Ask for a preparation list, and they'll send you one. They'll also send you a catalog of their Ready Reserve foods. But call 1-800-453-2002 right now. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in
Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Mr. Ron Brown, and he's been studying this for a long time, as with so many people, went through college, got an MBA, and of course they don't tell you the truth about what this is all about. Traditionally, gold and silver were the basis of a monetary system. But of course, if you could get people to believe that this really wasn't effective, that you needed more advanced, sophisticated things, then they could get the American people to use their fiat money that they created out of nothing. And then using this tremendous wealth they amassed, they would be able to use the United States to bring about the New World Order, the New World Religion they coveted. And that's exactly what's going on today. Why do we have troops in 140 nations? At least that's the figure that Congressman Ron Paul uses, and he's pretty close to what's going on. Why do we have FBI offices in both Moscow and Beijing? I mean, why are so many things going on today that seem to be detrimental to the survival of America? Why are we transferring our industrial base to other countries? Why are we transferring so many of our service jobs, like telephone answering and services and certainly it's telemarketing to other countries over in India? They've got all sorts of people who can speak perfect English, and many times when you pick up your phone and you're telemarketing, those people are over in India, because they can hire them for a dollar an hour. Here they have to pay people $6 or $8 an hour. So, well, Ron, why don't you just go on with some what's really going on with the economy? What about this massive debt? What are we really dealing with, and how is there any possible way to pay off the massive debt that we have today?
There's no way to pay it off. It has to be devalued. You know, what we have really is If your whole monetary system is based on money that is nothing more than debt, then the system really boils down to nothing more than a gigantic confidence game. So every time the market, the economy tries to correct on its own accord, of course the bankers and the government steps in to bail it out to keep it from contracting, because in a Ponzi scheme, which is what our money system is, you can never allow the system to contract. Because if it does, then you go into a black hole deflation and the whole thing implodes on itself. So they will always find a way to print money to bail their system out. And you can go back to 1979-80, remember when we had the inflationary blow-off and the whole system collapsed, interest rates went up to, what, 21.5% on the bonds. Inflation was running 15%. People couldn't make enough money on their savings to keep up with the loss of the purchasing power, so they started to seek the refuge of real assets, gold and silver, of course, being one of them. And gold went to, what, $870 an ounce, and silver went to $52 an ounce from five in 1 year. So one thing I think you can always say is that when people lose faith in the paper system, they will always seek the refuge of gold and silver. So, you know, it had its blow-off then, and then, of course, they came in to get control of it again, and that would have been in 1982 under Ronald Reagan, and that's why they raised the interest rates to try to get the inflationary psychology under control. And, of course, in June of 82, Reagan said, let's print our way out of this because we can't go into another depression, and of course, since then, we've been into an inflationary blow-off that created this artificial bubble that has now run its course.
But the president really doesn't have anything to do with it. Isn't it really the Federal Reserve System, which is really, I don't think most people understand, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank. It's owned by bankers. It's created to benefit bankers, not to benefit the people. It's really created to benefit the bankers and impoverish the people, because, of course, when the next contraction comes, an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their cars, they're going to lose everything they put up as collateral for their loans, and, of course, they're going to make it increasingly difficult for people to go bankrupt. Right now it's very easy, but they're trying to make it increasingly hard so that they'll be able, of course, to come after you at any time in the future.
Right. And I think the last 20 years has set the stage for a major collapse in America. If you think back to 1982, and I'm sure you remember, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners do, we were very, very close to a depression then. There was great talk in, you know, mid-82 about a deflation or a 29-style depression. And yet if we were in bad shape, but the rest of the world was even worse shape, and who do they need to trade with in order to survive? The United States. So in order to, and here's where we set the stage for the crisis we're now in. The rest of the world, in an attempt to make their products more attractive to American consumers, started to artificially lower the value of their currency versus the dollar, so that, for example, Hondas would look more attractive than Buicks. And as the world competed for our dollar, they were making the dollar look like, you know, King Kong in terms of currencies. And for 20 years, this has just fed on itself and gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, yet the whole strength of the dollar was artificial to begin with.
And really, there's nothing absolutely behind the dollar.
Right.
This is, of course, the most amazing thing. They've been able to fool people for many years, because at one time, the dollar was redeemable in gold. And then on the 15th of August, 1971, they closed the gold window. They took the world off the gold standard. They made the dollar the reserve currency of the world. The dollar was redeemable in more dollars or products from America. And that was great when America was producing all those products, you know, and we were the great industrial power of the world. But already, haven't we shipped most of our industrial capacity offshore? I mean, certainly so many of our jobs are gone. Really, what's the basis of our economy today? We talk about a gross domestic product of about $10.5 trillion, but how much of that is industrial? How much of that is really goods, and how much of it is simply services?
Oh, we don't produce hardly anything anymore, do we? I don't know how we could fight a war. We don't even make the shoes that we would need to put on the soldiers. It's scary to think what has happened to the industrial might of America. And it was orchestrated. I don't know if you remember, Stan, a few years back, probably 8 or 10 years back, 60 Minutes even did a special where they documented government agents calling corporations, talking them into moving their plants to China or, you know, Taiwan or wherever. And so the government was actively, you know, involved in undermining the industrial base of America.
And, of course, we guaranteed those companies that moved offshore into Mexico or China that if their plants were ever nationalized, why, we'd given their money back, and sometimes even two or three times their money. So we've been actively undermining and financing the transfer of our industrial base to other countries, and people don't understand why that would be. It doesn't really make sense unless you understand that the leaders of both political parties have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to this dream of a new world order, a new world religion. And, of course, they're doing everything they can, of course, to increase the living standards of the Chinese and the people in Malaysia and in Mexico and in South America, as they undermine the living standards of the American people. And eventually, of course, when this whole thing comes crashing down, destroy the life savings and belongings of the American people. This is the frightening thing, because this thing is going to collapse. And, of course, if we're at war, why, we can always blame it on the wicked Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, let me finish one point. I was talking about how we were attracting all the foreign money to the dollar, and as that those foreign dollar or foreign money came over into the U.S., it created the bubble in the stock market and you know, financial markets. It basically told Americans, "Don't worry about your deficits, because we're here and we'll loan the money to keep your deficits going. You just go out and buy new Cadillacs and new Hondas or whatever, and keep the thing going." And for 20 years, that's been the case. But it finally ran its course. And when the dot-com bubble, which had gotten so bloated it just couldn't be maintained, finally collapsed, then you basically ruptured the whole system. And now the whole system is starting to implode, and they're desperately trying to hold it together.
All right. But the question is, can they hold it together without simply inflating and destroying the economy, destroying the value of the dollar, without the value of anything that is associated with fixed assets? And then what happens to the American people who have their whole savings in a pension fund, who have it in bonds or stocks or things that they think will maintain their value?
Well, that's the point. See, once you start the printing press rolling, then you destroy the value, or it starts destroying the value of the paper money, which means they have to print more money because people are getting out of dollars. See, once you start, what happens to the bond market? You've got a multi-trillion-dollar bond market, and when the inflation starts up, that forces interest rates higher and bond values down, and that's what wipes out the bond market. So once they go down that slippery slope, like the dog chasing his tail, you know, the more you print, the more you have to print until you just totally destroy the value of it.
Right now, they're increasing the M3, the monetary increment, over 8% a year, and that's what they'll admit to. I mean, I don't think they're telling us the whole truth, do you?
Oh, not at all. I mean, we'd probably be alarmed if we knew what was really going on as far as the... And they do it so many different ways. The real estate bubble, of course, I'm sure we're about to run out of time on this segment, but we can talk about that. That's one way they create money out of nothing.
Well, they sure have, and we're going to have to take another break here. But you know, I just want to mention that if you really would like to understand what's going on in our society, you ought to get our 4-tape set on the secret government. There is a secret government. There always has been. It's been here ever since America was initially founded. But, of course, it was never in really great control until perhaps 50 or 60 years ago when Franklin Delano Roosevelt became our president. But we have a 4-tape set, an interview with Professor Carol Quigley, an interview with Norman Dodd, certainly my talk on the background of how this whole system fits together. It's 4-tape set. It's called The Secret Government. There are tens of thousands of those circulating across America. And you can either get that by itself or you can get it as part of a secret government special. You need to understand who's really running things and where we are going with this whole incredible downward spiral that we've already started in. I've been at this 40 years, and the reason I'm doing what I'm doing, at least a series of programs, and we'll be having Ron on again, is to try to encourage people to start making the preparations now, because a lot of people are not going to survive. The people who believe what they were told in Argentina are totally impoverished today. And they're out of work, 25% employment, our real employment, unemployment here is not 6%, it's probably closer to 12%, but they just don't bother to count the people who've been out of work over 6 or 8 months. So call 1-800-544-8927. Consider seriously getting the Secret Government special, or perhaps even one of our other specials. We have a Kennedy assassination special, a pagan agenda special, a population control agenda special, certainly an intelligence special, and you'll actually get books going into how both the CIA and the FBI have been working with the mafia in the past. Incredible stories you're certainly not going to hear elsewhere. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV and order any of these specials. And then you feel free to copy them and help us get the truth out while we can. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, how should people actually begin to prepare themselves for insurance so that they are not going to be wiped out if and when this this inflationary spiral comes? There's no question in my mind it's going to come. The only question is how soon, because I don't think they have the courage to do what's right and let this whole economy collapse and let the debt collapse and build then begin building from a solid foundation. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, yeah, obviously, what is being threatened now is the value of the U.S. dollar. And, of course, if you look back through history, every fiat currency in the history of the world has always gone to zero. So most people think they're diversifying by having some money in stocks and some money in bonds and some money, but it's all dollars. And so the first thing a person needs to do is to get a good portion of their savings out of dollar-denominated type investments. And, of course, the first best place to start there is with some real money, that's gold and silver coins.
Well, now, aren't people in other countries actually beginning to buy gold? Aren't the Japanese buying it? Aren't the people in India and in Malaysia and even in communist China beginning to accumulate gold because they want to protect their currency?
Oh, the demand for gold has been outstripping production now probably for the last 8, 10, even 12 years. The last figure I heard was that demand was outstripping supply by something like 1,700 tons a year. So that's gold to go into the market. Because remember, the price of gold is like a barometer of confidence in the paper system. So if the price of gold ever starts to rise, it's like sending a message to the world, there's something wrong, in River City. So the bankers will pull out all the stops to control and manipulate the price of gold. So as this demand exceeded supply, under normal circumstances, you would think the price of gold would rise. But remember, the central banks have literally thousands of tons of gold in their vaults that they dump into the market through different ways to meet that demand to hold the price down.
And, of course, they really accumulated almost all the gold in the world after the Second World War. And then, of course, they keep periodically dumping it on the market to drive the price down. And that's a violation of the law. It's a conspiracy to control the gold price. But then who's going to prosecute them? Because the very foundation of this whole movement towards a new world order is based upon fiat money. And, of course, if people had gold, they wouldn't use the fiat money. And they want to create this perception that it's an archaic relic of the past. If it is, why are all the central banks still holding so much gold if it's of absolutely no value?
Exactly. It's a scheme because you can create money out of nothing and control the world. You and I have to go out and work for a living, and then we get paid with money that was created out of nothing. So it's obviously a demonic type of system that is unfair.
All right, fine. Well, what should people do? How should they accumulate these items? And what are the best items to create, to accumulate?
Well, I personally, as you know, Stan, believe that silver is going to be the best investment. That doesn't mean you don't need to buy some gold. And I would start with the 1/10-ounce gold coins, because if the system goes into chaos, then people are going to be looking at their gold as a potential barter item. Now, whether we ever get to that point or not is not the important point. The point is, it's the perception that we may get there that make those more attractive.
Well, that's what's really going on in Argentina today. They've actually returned to a barter system in large part.
That's right. And if you recall back in 99 when Y2K was the big issue, in January, as we turned the corner on the countdown to year 2000, these little 1/10-ounce coins just exploded overnight because they couldn't make enough to keep up with the demand, and the price literally went from like $32 my cost on January the 4th, let's say. 2 weeks later, they were $49, and the price of gold hadn't moved a bit. It was just the shortage of those coins. So when the crisis starts to accelerate, people will seek those small coins first.
All right, fine. So, of course, you get small coins, and then how would they purchase silver? What way would they purchase silver?
There are several ways. My favorite right now is what we call the old pre-1965 U.S. coins. and they come packaged in a bag. And a bag, by definition, is $1,000 face value of those coins, and they're 90% silver. So a bag of dimes, for example, would be 10,000 little silver dimes to make up $1,000 face value. But if you took one of those bags, melted it down, and refined it into pure silver ingots, you would have approximately 720 ounces of pure silver to a bag. So you don't buy a bag for $1,000. You're buying the silver content, which would be somewhere around $3,600 a bag.
Okay, fine. Is there any shortage of those? There are plenty of them right at the present time.
At the present time, there's enough to go around. But in that same time zone when I was talking about the 10th ounces back in January 79, those bags went from like $3,800 my cost to $5,800 my cost 2 weeks later simply because there weren't enough bags to go around. The same thing happened back in 1982. The bags went to a 57% premium in a matter of weeks when the demand came on stream. So once this thing triggers and people wake up to what's really going on, the availability of bags, in my opinion, will dry up in a matter of hours.
Well, of course, the thing is that the people in this country have never gone through a loss of the value of their currency, but certainly in other countries, this is not true. In fact, aren't the people over in Japan really beginning to buy gold and buy it very, very heavily?
Yeah, back at the beginning of the year when the Japanese banking system stopped guaranteeing the deposits to the degree that they used to, the depositors just started hoarding gold and silver, and the demand doubled and tripled almost overnight.
Well, you know, it's a fascinating thing to see what's happened in Japan. I mean, they have actually been 10 years in a contraction within the last couple of days. Their stock market hit a new low, the lowest in over 10 years. And of course, over there, the value of a property has gone down 50, 60, 70%. A lot of the loans that the banks are holding there, they're selling at 20 cents on the dollar. And the Japanese government has just been pouring money out in an effort to get the economy going, and it hasn't worked at all.
Not at all. In fact, I have an interesting story on that, if we have time. If you think back to 1979 and 80, when gold was exploding from like $200 an ounce in January of 79 to $800 an ounce by January of 80. And I remember sitting there very arrogant because I'd gotten into the business in January of 79 and I was begging people to buy silver at $5, and here we were a year later with $52 silver, and I was just strutting around like a little Cheshire cat because I was so brilliant, right? And I remember thinking, what can the Fed do to stop the bleeding? See, the dollar was collapsing, if you recall, because of the Iran hostage situation. If they started the printing press and the bond market was collapsing, the bond market lost 40% in a three-month period there in late 79. So my thinking was, what could the Fed do to stop it? And so see, if they start the printing press to buy bonds, then they destroy the bond market or the dollar and vice versa. So my logic was there was nothing they could do to stop it, and of course I was dead wrong. It wasn't Greenspan, but Paul Volcker came in and got control. But I found out 15 years later how they did it, and that is they created a bogus loan, and there's a thing in the Federal Reserve Act called a coupon pass, which allows the Fed, in an emergency situation, to put in layman terms, to start a separate set of books under the table and create money to buy back unwanted bonds. So what we did was make a massive loan of in excess of $1 trillion to Japan, the Japanese banks, who turned around and bought U.S. Treasury bonds, giving the impression that the Japanese had faith in our system because they were buying bonds paying 16%, right? And, of course, a few years later, Japan took that new money and went into a bubble themselves. And in 1980, the Japanese stock market was trading around 5,000 yen, and then by 1989, it was, what, almost 40,000?
Right.
So we sucked them into the New World Order bubble. And then, of course, when that system collapsed, here they are, 13, 14 years later, still trying to recover.
Right. And, of course, they just can't get their domestic economy going. But, of course, they have at least a positive balance of payments. We have a massive deficit of payments. We are the largest debtor nation in the world. Our deficit this year is going to be in the neighborhood of $480 billion. That's the amount of money we're putting out, buying things in excess of what we're actually able to export. There's never any instance in all history where a nation has bought itself or spent itself into survival. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to spend and spend and spend and create prosperity. We're buying things as cheap as we can, but one of these days, if the dollar collapses, the things that we're buying today for, a few dollars are going to be much, much, much more expensive. But that's because we don't have an industrial capacity and everything is perception. And if that perception ever changes, why hang on to your hat? Ron, you've actually put out a report on silver. How would people go about getting that?
Just give me a call at 1-800-595-0561.
What's that again?
1-800-595-0561.
1-800-595-0561. And let's go to Fred calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm just reading a book about the life and death of Nazi Germany.
Right.
And there's a couple lines I'd like to read. In April of 1921, Allied governments handed Germany a bill for war preparations for $33 billion. At that time, the mark was worth 4 marks to the dollar. By August of 1923, it took 4 billion marks to buy $1. So that's inflation.
It sure is. And people say that can't happen here. Well, I've seen very similar things happen. It happened in Russia, in a decade or so ago. Certainly it's happened in many other countries down through the years. But the only solution that our leaders, the Fed, has now is to turn on the printing presses, either that or let the whole economy collapse, because, of course, our great industries do not have a solid base, and many of them cannot compete with the rest of the world on the labor cost. So anything else you want to say, Fred?
No, I just thought that was quite interesting. I was just sitting here reading that when you were talking about inflation.
And remember what happened, of course. Then the German people demanded a dictator who was going to give them the good times back again.
Then they got Hitler.
They got an Adolf Hitler, right. I wonder
who... Yeah, we have a very similar situation today in that as we start the printing presses rolling, it's going to destroy the whole system. And I always think of the quote that came right out of the United Nations Human Development Report in 1994, where they said, "A world central bank is essential for the 21st century. It will take some time and probably an international financial crisis before we can achieve that goal."
I wonder where that financial crisis is going to come from. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Ron Brown. But right now, of course, I want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is a listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who actually, of course, listen to our programs and believe that we serve a very important purpose, because we're going to bring you the information you're not going to get from the mainline news, and you're going to get our newsletters, and you're going to have an opportunity to find out what's really going on behind the scenes, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, if you'd like to partner with us, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, I'm there for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford. You'll get our 4 best tapes in the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And that is, of course, bring the truth to people all across America. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. War. And then, of course, if you'd like to go to our website, it's radioliberty.com, and you can pull down our newsletters there, and you can pull down our programs, and they're all, at least the programs on Radio Liberty, are archived there for a number of weeks. You're welcome to copy those and give those to other people elsewhere if you'd like, to get them to begin listening, or if you get our tapes, we give you our permission to copy them, or any of the videos that we've produced. And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of any of our newsletters, the September newsletter explains what's happening as far as the various government programs aimed at monitoring every American citizen. In the name, of course, fighting terrorism, the October newsletter is Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee on the 18th of September that was suppressed. The November letter simply deals with an overview of what's happening. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copy. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Ron Brown, and Ron apparently has been in the business of the gold and silver business for, what, about 24 years now?
I actually started in the business in January of 1979.
All right, fine. Well, that's pushing 23 years anyway. So anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Ron, our telephone number, 464-8295, or out across America is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And of course, so you're actually suggesting that people just buy silver coins and keep those, store those?
I personally believe at this point in history that silver is the best investment opportunity in a lifetime.
All right. What about platinum as an investment? Is that a good thing to have, and is there any advantages or disadvantages to it?
Well, platinum has several disadvantages. One, it's already made a major move. It's gone from about the price of gold several years ago, and it's at 600 now. So it's kind of outstripped itself relative to the other coins. Plus, it'll always be less liquid. There's not as much out there, and so while you can look at it as an investment, it's not a proper thing for just a crisis hedge. In other words, you'll never be able to use it for barter because
it's too expensive. And, of course, really what you want is something that you can trade for something else. And people said we could never be in a situation like that, and I would ask, why not? And I would simply look at this from the point of view of the spiritual battle that's going on. Does anybody out there in the listening audience honestly believe that God would bless America, the America that exists today, where they're talking in California of make it illegal for any judge in the state of California to belong to a church that says that homosexuality is wrong or that supports the Boy Scouts? No judge could support the Boy Scouts or belong to a church that said homosexuality is wrong. What incredible thing they're talking about, trying to make that a law here in the state of California. Do you think that God is going to continue to bless a society that allows the pornography and the filth that we have on television or on the Internet today? I don't think so. What do you think, Ron?
Well, no doubt about it. You know, I hadn't heard the ones you just mentioned. It just always amazes me how far we can go before people wake up. And it makes you wonder if our nation ever will.
And, you know, the Muslim nations, I think that what's going on here is terrible and it's bad and it's immoral. And they resent the fact that we're sending our pornography over there and our filthy television programs over there and our filthy movies over there. And I think they're absolutely right. What bothers me is there's much more of an outcry from the Muslim nations about what's going on in America than there is from the American church. And that's another reason I feel that there may very well be serious consequences here, because there's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned its back on God, where God has not turned his back on that nation. And we've been so richly blessed here through the decades, through the centuries, since the founding of this once great country as a Christian country, but we're certainly a long way away from there. So basically, of course, the economic situation certainly doesn't seem to be getting any better. In fact, you know, as I read and I go through the papers meticulously on a regular basis, I mean, more and more of our major companies are going into bankruptcy, or they're going into Chapter 11. We've got Kmart in there, and a new company going into bankruptcy almost every week. But of course, as long as we're focusing our attention on what's going on over in the Middle East, the American people aren't really seeing what's going on, are they, Ron?
That's right, and they have to have a diversion or an excuse for the collapse, and that gives them the ability to take more and more control. I mean, I look at this Homeland Security, and all they need now is to create crisis after crisis so they can impose more and more control over the people.
And, of course, you know, they've got this new situation where the Army is going to begin to monitor people. When did the American Army ever begin coming up with a total awareness, a total information awareness program where the Army now begins to coordinate certainly all of our various privately owned computers with the government computers, so they'll be able to monitor what you're buying in the store? I mean, are they concerned whether you're buying cat food or dog food? I mean, do they think that the average terrorist is going to go out and with his credit card is going to buy lots of ammonium nitrate and the various things he'll need for his fuel? I mean, do they think that the terrorists are really that dumb? You know, are these terrorists who are able to carry out all these terrorist attacks without any of our knowledge? Or are they really monitoring the American people because they're expecting the same sort of domestic unrest that's going on in Venezuela today, that certainly has plagued Argentina after they were betrayed by their government officials? So what's your take of the next things that are going to happen, and what should people be watching out for?
Well, I think next year you're going to see they brought out all the king's horses and all the king's men in the last 3 or 4 months to try to prop the stock market up. They pumped in money, as we talked about, into the system. And this rally is going to run its course, and we're going to start back down because there's no justification for this rally in the stock market. The earnings, like you said, the bankruptcies keep accelerating and so forth. So the next wave down, I think the next shocker to the system is going to be when the real estate bubble pops and they can no longer keep the money coming into the system that way. And then finally, I think the shocker that's going to really devastate America is the realization that a vast majority of the pension plans are now grossly underfunded. And by the time the next stock market wave goes down, it's going to be even worse. So I just can't imagine what that's going to do to people who've been in a job for 20, 30 years, probably a job they didn't particularly like, but the security kept them there. And to wake up all of a sudden that it won't be there is truly demoralizing, I would think.
Well, you know, of course, many of the pension funds are defined benefit pension funds. That means that the defined, the definite benefit, you're going to get $1,000 a month until you die, $1,500 a month until you die. And so the president has come along and said, we're going to let you change your means of accounting so it won't have to be defined benefits. And that way, it'll save the company pension funds a lot of money. And so instead of getting $1,000, you're going to get $500 or maybe $300 a month. But, of course, then if the dollar falls in value, what will that dollar buy? And that is what people don't understand. George Soros, who's certainly one of the wicked people who's behind what's going on in the world, but he recently said and was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying he anticipates the dollar will fall 30% in the next couple of years, and that, of course, if there's a recession, it'll fall much further. When they're talking about falling, it means losing its purchasing power and moving from what it is today to 30, 50, 70, 90% less in purchasing power. And then what happens when, of course, you have a pension that's going to pay you $1,000 a month, but the dollar purchases what $300 or $200 does now. What happens to these people who are really dependent upon the system when they realize that the system is not designed to help them, but to enrich the people who control it?
Well, of course, they will look for the government to step in and bail out those pension plans. And just as we saw a $30 billion bailout of Brazil, a couple months ago? I honestly believe, Stan, a year from now, we're going to see 100 billion, 200 billion bailouts, just commonplace. as they bail out the pension plans or Ginnie Mae or the major banks that are caught up in these derivatives and debt structure. And so the printing press will just go faster and faster, just as we talked about in Germany.
Well, let me just point out to our listeners, we had a guest on, Bob Chapman, a few days ago, and he said that the Fed, and using Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, had increased liquidity, increased our national total debt, now not the federal debt, but the total debt, $5 trillion in 3 years. Well, I couldn't believe that, so I checked it out, and I have all the figures, and any of you want to see them, we'll be glad to send them to you free of charge. And he's absolutely right, $5 trillion in the last 3 years, between 1999 and the year 2002. Now, how could they do that without you hearing about it? Why, very simply, they lie. They tell you we have a federal deficit of $158 billion last year. It was actually $400 billion. They just forgot to mention the $250 billion they stole from Social Security and Medicare. They tell us we have 6% unemployment, but it's really closer to 12% because they don't mention the people that have been off work for a year and can't find a job. And the government is lying because they don't want the people to know the truth. If any of you would like to see those figures that we have from the Fed, you can give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Hey, we've got Herman calling. We're just about out of time. Hi, Herman. Do you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, make it real quick. Regarding real estate, if the government does inflate to try to get us out of this mess, wouldn't the real estate prices hold up in many areas?
What's your thought on that, Ron?
Well, they could at some point. But it's... what is the value? Because at that time, the dollar will be losing its value very fast. I remember when, just quickly, I remember when I first got into this, I saw a chart of the German real estate, or not real estate market, but the stock market. And if you just looked at the nominal prices of the German stocks, you would think you were getting rich. The reality is you were losing everything because the value of the currency was dropping so much faster than the price.
Let me tell you what's going on over in Rhodesia right now, Herman. Over in Rhodesia, the stock market is going through the roof. Property values are skyrocketing because they have 144% inflation there every year. People are buying houses not to live in them. They just want to be able to sell them later for more. People are putting their money not in banks, but in television sets because they feel that they'll hold value and the money is depreciating so rapidly. So you're absolutely right. The value of property will increase. But, of course, what will the dollars that you can sell it for actually bring? That's the important issue.
Thank you very much.
God bless. And thanks so very much. And you have a wonderful Christmas, Herman.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Ron, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you'll be back again from time to time and keep us advised of what's going. I want to put out that telephone number once more time where people can get your article on silver.
It's 1-800-595 0561.
That's 1-800-595-0561. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. And this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is Christmas. Remember, the reason for the season is the birth of our Savior. Notice how the media, of course, is totally deleting that, and we're substituting Jimmy Stewart for any of the disciples, certainly, it's a wonderful, wonderful world. All these wonderful programs, but they have nothing to do with Christmas. And, of course, we've substituted holiday for Christmas because, of course, the satanic forces that oppose us hate Jesus Christ and everything he stands for. And when you understand that, everything begins to make much more sense. Of course, they will destroy everything in this country if they can. And the only reason they're able to do it is because the good people are doing nothing. And so, have a wonderful Christmas. And we'll be back with you on Thursday. We won't be here tomorrow. Until then, may the Lord be with you.